This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the Bet Rivers Network. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by Jack Wright as we look ahead to the EFL fixtures. This time it is our first of a midweek show, so we're recording this on Monday. The games are taking place on Tuesday and Wednesday evening. A quick look back to last weekend, Jack, where we are still, you know, after making such a big deal out of being the most in profit of any show. I then went 0-4, as I think they say, over in the States. It was a bad weekend for me. I have to hold my hands up. Sometimes you just got to apologize and say, you know what, it wasn't our day. Although I do feel a bit aggrieved that the over 2.5 didn't cop in the Bristol City Wigan game, because both teams had plenty of chances after it was 1-1 after about an hour. But luckily, you did pretty well yourself. You copped with BTTS in the Sunderland QPR game. I'm sure you had a goalkeeper goal high on the agenda there.
He was going to be my tip for last goal scorer, but I couldn't find his price anywhere, unfortunately. So we had to go with both teams to score instead. Good old Mick Beale.
Yeah, good old Mick Beale. For those who haven't seen it, go back and have a look at the unbelievable scenes at Stadium of Light. Senny Dieng, the QPR keeper, not only rising highest in injury time to head home the equaliser, but then pulling off an unbelievable double save as well straight afterwards to keep the score at 3-2. Norwich over. Norwich corners match bet copped as well.
We won.
Well,
the corners.
The corner count. Well, we're going to be getting into Norwich in just a second, and hopefully maybe they actually might win. But before we do, just going to point the listeners and viewers in the direction of the Twitter handle, Because We Win, at Because We Win. We can find both Jack and I and plenty of other sports handicappers on the Bet Rivers Network up there, managed by us, promoting our shows and picks. So do go and follow that now. And you can find all the other Bet Rivers Network shows on the YouTube channel, or you can subscribe on any podcast platform as well. Let's start with Norwich then, Jack, because you know, for those who are new to this, you are a Norwich fan. Norwich are currently rooted to the bottom of the Championship, pre-season favourites in the futures markets to win the league. It hasn't started well for Dean Smith. 1 point from 3 games.
No.
But is there cause for optimism?
Well, I was pleased to know that we probably had to toss a coin for this one, because I know you quite fancied this as well. Mm. So I am going for the Norwich win here, and on a -1 Asian handicap, which on the face of it, as a side bottom of the table, you've got that screams madness, doesn't it really? But they have certainly looked a lot better in the last couple of games. I think Dean Smith has said in his press conference this morning that there was nothing really to shout about in that Cardiff game to start with, but created enough chances in both the last two to certainly have won both those games. Came out of the blocks on fire on Saturday. Realistically, could have put the game out of sight in the opening 10 or 15 minutes. Had a really strong start, created lots of chances, missed lots of chances. And then the same kind of failings. And you kind of look at it and you go, how many more times can you keep seeing like individual errors or defensive errors? And they've got to be ruled out of the game at some point of time. You know, and like I said, Max Aarons, one of Norwich's best players, highly sought after, of course, linked to Man United recently. Inexplicably, he goes to launch the ball downfield and drills it straight into the midriff of one of his centre-backs, and it falls to your good friend, Stupinen, to open his account in England, and is up and running. And then a kind of pinball for the second goal as well. So a couple of saves, and it just fell to the Stupinen again. So certainly one highlight of that is the futures that you put forward at the start. He's now up and running with 2 goals. So, which is good. Norwich got back into it. Nunez, who looks an absolutely brilliant pickup, not just for the fact that he smashed in a sort of 25-yard free kick and then had another one saved at the death as well. But on the half turn, driving forward, he's put some energy into that midfield, and his link-up play and his head-up passing into the area looks very, very good. I'm quite interested with his link-up with Pukki. He gave him 2 or 3 chances at the weekend. Pukki had 4 shots, and all of which on target at the weekend, mainly coming from Nunez. So that seems to be an interesting little dynamic. Pukki obviously likes working with a South American behind him, as we've seen in the past. So hopefully something similar can come from that. But Pookie doesn't normally have those amount of chances and doesn't turn them into goals. So I think that one's about to turn. Again, 70% of the ball, which doesn't always tell the true story, but they had 12 shots on target at the weekend. So that kind of does tell the story that it just didn't quite fall for them. They also blazed one over at the end from about 2 yards when it should have been easier to score. But one of those games. And so I just think that the performances are now turning. The chances are being created. They just need to finish them. Huddersfield, for them, got their first win of the season at the weekend, but I'm still not convinced by Danny Schofield. He seemed mightily relieved to have picked up that win, and understandably so after the defeats to open his reign as manager. Looking at the detail of the Stoke game, Stoke missed a penalty with a score of 0-0. They had a goal disallowed when the score was 1-0 down. They hit the post as well. The goals they conceded were from a set piece, free header at a set piece. So you'd say, again, looking at the individuals there, defensive error for the second goal, and then Huddersfield killed it off when Stoke pressing for the equaliser. He changed his formation again. He went to 5 at the back at the weekend. So you just think he's still kind of trying to find out what he needs to do to get the results. He's picked it up. You'd assume he'll keep the same for this game. I always like a comparable when I'm looking at these sort of things. And the Burnley game is the one that I picked out here. Obviously, Burnley, as we know, are well fancied for getting promotion. And in that opening game, they just seemed a little bit fearful of what Burnley could do, stood off them and let Burnley sort of play around them. And eventually it was a matter of time before they conceded. Only managed 2 shots in that game against Burnley. So I would expect a similar pattern here. 65-70% possession Norwich, plenty of chances created. It is a matter of them finishing it off. I very, very much strongly fancy Norwich to win this one. And if they do finish their chances, although it won't be the 7-0 it was last time these two met in this league, I would expect a comfortable home win. So yeah, -1 at +100 is the bet for me here.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Hard to disagree with that. And I think also Dean Smith will be aware that this is a very, very important game for him to try and win back some of the Carrow Road faithful, yourself included, Jack, and get them believing. You know, we've had a lot of people say that this was the same start Daniel Farker had a few seasons back and he ended up winning the league. So
that's right, yeah. 4 points after 4 games and they went to win the league. So we'll have to see. But we've still got a live bet with that 40-1 Dean Smith first manager out, of course. So Huddersfield home Tuesday night and Millwall home Friday night on Sky TV. So we'll see what happens. Big week, as you say.
Huge week. My first tip is going back to the well, back to the Bristol City well. Well, as I said, over 2.5 goals was my tip last week. I'm looking at the expected goals value in Wigan Bristol City. It was 2.25, 1.23. So an accumulative 3.5 expected goals in the game, and yet we were stuck on 2, which was frustrating given the chances that were missed. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't go with goals again here. I'm adding over 2.5 is pretty short, so we're going over 2.5 and both teams to score at +118. So odds against again for the bet. Luton aren't necessarily seen or perceived to be a side who are particularly open under the manager Nathan Jones, which is completely fair. But I think they will, given it's Bristol City, their opponents, I think we know exactly how this game is going to play out. You know, Bristol City, the only way they know how to play, especially at home, is to get on the front foot and try and attack. And that should leave gaping holes in behind as well for Luton to try and exploit. Luton come into this one off the back of a disappointing 1-0 home defeat against Preston, where Brad Pott scored one of the best goals I think I've ever seen in the Championship. Some flying acrobatic volley, where if his name is Paolo Di Canio, we'd be hearing about it for the next 20 years. But Luton created 1.63 expected goals in the game. So they had no issue creating the chances. It was just an issue getting the ball in the back of the net that ended up costing them. And they'll want to put that right here. Bristol City looking very, very fluid in attack again and very, very porous in defence. So I don't see any reason why Luton should struggle to break Bristol City down. I think we can be fairly confident that Bristol City, for all of their faults, and they're yet to pick up a win this season, are fairly adept at creating opportunities for themselves and especially Andreas Weimann from open play. So it should be an end-to-end game. I think we're getting a fair price because Luton has seemed to be a general unders team. And I'm convinced if we continue to back overs at Bristol City, I'm frustrated that you've got it to cop and I've got and I'm down on them so far. So fingers crossed I can get back in the green this midweek under the lights as well. Bristol City versus Luton over 2.5 goals and both teams to score at +118.
Nice.
Over to you, Jack.
So I'm going for Burnley against Hull for my second selection. And again, a minus handicap here, just minus 0.75 at minus 125 as the odds. There's a very similar theme with my three selections in the Championship this week or midweek, in that they all lost. The teams I'm backing to win all lost at the weekend against teams that all won at the weekend, which has actually meant the odds have come nicely in our favour as far as we get a little bit more bang for a buck. This line's actually moved from a minus one to a minus 0.75, which is nice. But obviously Burnley played Friday night. I was a little bit disappointed with them actually against Watford. Dominated the ball, but just seemed a little bit slow and ponderous with what they did with it. Certainly until Watford had a man sent off, then it kind of stepped up a little bit, as you'd probably expect, especially as it got towards the end of the game. But I think that maybe they're a little bit overcautious, possibly overplaying just a little bit. Watford seemed to kind of say we were content to let them play in front of them and in areas where they were comfortable with that. But Ashley Barnes up front, I don't think is a Vincent Kompany kind of man. I don't think he's the kind of striker that Vincent Kompany would ideally like to have there. That's sort of more of a battering ram striker. Jay Rodriguez came on and looked a better fit, as you'd probably expect, a little bit more craft, a little bit more about him. Still got that kind of presence, but just a little bit more subtle, I'd guess you'd say. And Nathan Teller as well. He came on, obviously, on loan from Southampton, got his debut. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him make a start in this one against Hull. Guy I was slightly disappointed with, but I was looking forward to seeing Mattson again out on the left-hand side. And I thought he had a little bit of a quiet game, so I'd expect to bounce back from him in front of his own fans. But 64% of the ball, and I say it was just a little bit slow, but Watford away is not an easy place to go. And again, Daniel Backman made two or three very good saves to keep them out. And Burnley hit the bar with like seconds remaining. So they certainly had chances to have got something from the game, and it just wasn't to be on the night. And also, bearing in mind, we know Watford are very, what they've got going forward, João Pedro, no Emmanuel Dennis, of course, but still had Ismaïla Sarr. So a very potent front part of the pitch for Watford. Burnley limited Watford to just five shots and only that one on target, the Cleverley goal on the stroke of half-time. So defensively, you've got to say they did their job really sound. And again, if they can do that and keep Estupinan quiet, then we're in with a shout here. Hull are second, but you've got to say they've been a little bit fortunate to pick up 6 points from their two home games. We've obviously discussed the Norwich one. The Bristol City was the first win there, where that contentious, to say the least, penalty and then the big deflection for the winning goal. And again, the game I'm looking at is the only away game so far this season, where they went to Preston, threw up 63% of the ball. So again, you're going to expect a very similar situation here with Burnley dominating the ball, 65-70% of the ball. And they allowed 20 shots from Preston. Preston also hit the post. So it was one of those, again, where it just didn't quite work out for them. Only six shots from Hull and only one of those on target. So again, very similar stats, I suppose, to that the Watford game versus Burnley we then talked about, but in reverse. So we see that panning out. And for me, I can't see Burnley not winning this one. I think they will win, and it will just then come down to a matter of taking their chances. I expect them to create a lot of chances. You know, can they get, is Scott Twine close enough to being fit to get on the bench? Because he'll be a big boost for them to come on. But I still think with the likes of Rodriguez, with the likes of Teller coming in to freshen things up a little bit, they'll have enough to win it, finish the chances that they undoubtedly will create, and then should be a 2-3 goal margin of victory, which will obviously bring our bet in. But minus 0.75 at minus 125 is the bet.
Great stuff. Second selection they're getting with Burnley. My next pick is siding with Middlesbrough away at Stoke at minus 103, draw no bet, so plus zero on the Asian handicap. I think Borough have been unlucky this season so far. If you look at their three games thus far, they battered West Brom in the first half of their first game and then were pegged back in the second half, deservedly so, but they could have been out of sight in that first half, drawing the game 1-1. They then went 3-0 down and looked a bit shell-shocked away at QPR before coming back into the game at 3-2, but couldn't get that all-important equaliser. The XG count there, 2.07 to Borough, 1.5 to QPR. And they made it 3 out of 3 in terms of the XG victories. Not that that counts for any points, but in terms of looking at their performances against Sheffield United on Sunday, 1.81 to what 0.58 there. Probably would have been happy with a point given it was a late equaliser that got them there. But over the course of the game and you know the chances created by either side, Borough can probably feel aggrieved at not having won it. So three games, two draws and a defeat, but three fairly good performances where they have had no issue creating chances. It's keeping the ball out of the other end that's been the issue. Taking on a Stoke team who've lost two of their three games, and the two defeats have come against a Millwall side who, of course, we know are decent and, you know, whilst they might not be a top six team, certainly look well set to be a dark horse to challenge at that area. And then going to Huddersfield, who've been so poor, as you mentioned earlier, and being beaten 3-1. Yes, there were circumstances to change that. Lewis Baker missing a penalty, the disallowed goal as well. But they still conceded three goals to Huddersfield. And I think if you're conceding three against a team who, prior to the game, could barely string a chance together, then I think Boro should make hay in the sweltering evening sunshine on Wednesday night against Stoke. And, you know, in my view, the home advantage from Stoke is obviously what's giving us the price. But I think yeah. Boro should be favourites here. So to be backing them just slightly odds on, draw no bet, taking the draw out is the way that I'm looking to play this. If it wasn't for such a bad week last week, I'd have gone straight into the win. But I'm taking the draw out as an insurance and just backing Boro. Draw no bet is my second pick against Stoke. What's your third championship selection?
Yeah, I'm going with all the promotion favourites, or the anti-post ones, certainly. West Brom, home to Cardiff. Again, a minus 0.75 handicap at minus 125. And on a very similar thing to what you then talked about, I'm siding with West Brom, who have come a little bit alongside Middlesbrough, as the Brighton of the Championship. And to steal your phrase, the trademarked George Ellick phrase, the data darlings of the second yes. tier, I might say, yes. So, look, 2-1 loss again yesterday at Blackburn. Blackburn had two shots on target, scored their goals. West Brom had twice as many and obviously only scored one. But every time, again, we use XG, we use the data. Of course we do. You need to look at the stats and into that kind of information. But I also like to use the eye test, as I mentioned before. And every time I've seen West Brom, say, obviously that first half that you mentioned there, they got absolutely battered by Middlesbrough, but then reversed the roles in the second half. So realistically, that could have been probably a 4-4 draw. No one would complain because it was those chances that were created and from both sides in either half. So, yeah, they've impressed and say they are top of the XG table by quite some distance, to be fair. And in the last home game, how they didn't beat Watford is like a mystery. So they created so many chances.
And they lost it, if it wasn't for the penalty miss.
I know. Yeah, incredible, like, to have done that. And their XG was like over 3 in that game and ended with a 1-1 draw. Again, Backman, who's had a great start to the season. He's been well worked there at that Watford goal. Kind of had a personal battle with Carlin Grant that night and certainly came out on top, although Carlin Grant did end up scoring. And he had 7 shots that night. He's just missed quite a few chances, but West Brom continue to create. And that's all you can ask for. I've seen several press conferences today from managers that have said the same sort of thing. Dean Smith, Steve Bruce, have all said, we can't do any more. We're creating the chances. We've got to finish them. And you look at that lineup for West Brom: Jonathan Swift, Jed Wallace, Carlin Grant, Grady Diagana. You just think they scream goals. They scream creating chances, and you just got to finish them off. And when you look at the goals that they have scored over their time, obviously Swift for Reading last season, Jed Wallace has come to the party, of course, as well. And Carlin Grant, not only at West Brom last season, but at Huddersfield at this level before. They've got to start turning those into goals. And again, I think it's been a bit of a perfect storm this midweek. A lot of sides that I like against a lot of sides that I'm quite happy to fade. And Cardiff is one of those that we've talked about before where their creation of chances has been quite limited. I think, to be fair to them, Birmingham at the weekend was their best performance of the season, a complete performance where they probably deserved to win by more than the goal to nil that they did. But again, I'm going to go back to that Reading game, and we know Reading fell apart at the weekend, and I know I was certainly one of your sides to fear for this season that they're likely to go down. And Reading turned them over, and that's what prompted Steve Morrison, the Cardiff manager, to come out and have a proper go at his side and apologise for that performance. And I don't think they can afford to do that at the Hawthorns. The other thing is that Morrison does want this complete change of style from what Cardiff are used to and playing through the lines. And I think that's really going to be a dangerous game to play at West Brom with Carlin Grant's energy, Jed Wallace as well, Swift. They all love the press. They all love to kind of smother that ball in that final third. And if they turn the ball over there, I think there's going to be a recipe for disaster for Cardiff. So we'll see how that one goes. The other thing that caught my eye, I've kept an eye on with Cardiff, is their concession of free kicks, and also with yellow cards up to the weekend, they were the most carded team in the Championship. They're now the second highest team as far as free kicks are given. They averaged 13.7 free kicks given away, conceded per Championship game so far. And when you've got Jed Wallace in the opposition team, that is going to be a real, say, dicing with death scenario because of his delivery into the box. He's phenomenal, probably the best in the league, I would suggest. So all those combination of factors, I am prepared to give West Brom another chance. So they've had a very similar to Norwich. They've had a very kind of poor start with results, but performances look a lot better than the results suggest. So minus 0.75, West Brom on the Asian handicap at minus 125 is a confident selection.
Lovely stuff. Those are Jack's three Championship picks, and making up my three is a goal scorer bet. You spoke in there about Birmingham. They host Watford. Watford, it's really difficult because they've picked up 7 points from their three games, but I haven't been impressed by them in any of the three. They look fairly solid. And I have to say, they made Sheffield United and Burnley look ordinary when evidence elsewhere suggests that they are not just ordinary sides. But the West Brom game, certainly, they were very lucky to get a point in that game. But they, you know, they've had three tough games, effectively. Sheffield United, West Brom and Burnley, I think, have all shown us early this season that they are all teams who can harbour genuine promotion ambitions. And maybe seeing Watford take on a team in Birmingham who, you know, their manager, John Eustace, who was very nearly appointed Watford manager in the summer, who's a former player there, came out after the game against Cardiff, where they were battered, as you mentioned, by a team who've struggled. And he seemed pretty positive. He was like, yeah, you know, we're a relegation candidate. This is what it is. A big positive for him was that they finished the game with lots of homegrown players on the pitch. Well, if those are the ambitions and those are the levels he's setting, then I think Watford could well really turn it on. I think if there is a time for them to do so this midweek, it could be then. I'm basically backing Saar every week to score because I don't think people or the market have yet cottoned onto the fact that he is playing up front. It's frustrating that he missed that penalty against West Brom because we don't know if he will stay on penalties. I'm not entirely sure who else could do it. Maybe João Pedro. But I think Emmanuel Dennis moving on to Forest, he would be the obvious candidate to do so. So maybe him moving on means that Saar will continue on penalties. But he's being priced up at plus 220 to score any time in this game. I'm fairly confident that he is Watford's biggest goal threat at the moment. The way the position that he's playing, and with Dennis having moved on and João Pedro basically playing as a 10, although I guess Pedro could come in alongside him. Keenan Davis is a player who I think is signed or is set to sign on loan from Villa, who's a brilliant signing, but again, isn't necessarily a direct goal threat. He's someone who'll run the channels very well, who's very physical, a bit of a live wire up front, and will add yet more pace to that attack. This is just the case. But I think that Saar is the biggest goal threat for a side who are heavily odds on to win the game. And I think he should be shorter. I mean, João Pedro is plus 190 to score any time. I think Saar should be shorter than that and should be the shortest player listed in the pitch. So on the pitch. So at plus 220, Ismaïla Saar to score any time is the way that I'm playing this. Just crossing my fingers that he stays on pens for my futures bet as well, of him to be top goal scorer.
Absolutely right. Yeah. We're in good shape in the futures bets the goal scorer markets there. Obviously, Weimann 3-3 and Saar after a decent start. Let's get that window shut.
Estupiñán as well. Exactly.
Oh, of course. How could I forget? I forgot just because I wanted you to pronounce it. I do like the way you say it.
And that's the other good thing about tipping up Reading last week and seeing them get beat 4-0 is at least we're on for relegation. So that's the that's the good news in the future sets. Into League One, you've got a League One selection. I've got a League Two selection. We'll kick off with your League One pick.
Yeah, this is largely about fading Cheltenham, to be honest, who look a little bit of a shambles since the departure of Michael Duff, and probably understandably so. He was such a massive part of what they've done over the last 2 or 3 years that how to replace him was going to be an issue. And they've obviously gone down the same route. And we mentioned Danny Schofield at Huddersfield before, that kind of internal recruitment. And you get why they've done it, but then also, you know, is that the right move? Obviously, only time will tell, but it couldn't have started any worse for him. Three back-to-back league defeats. Obviously, it actually started well, and they took a two-goal lead against Peterborough and then threw that away, and then have since gone and lost two games. And then also a 7-0 drubbing at home in the Cup, which is, we can't read too much into it because rotated sides and so on. But even so, a 7-0 defeat at home to a side that's only just been newly promoted into your league is never a good look, whatever you're doing. So absolutely crazy that. So Wade Elliott is the man who's took the role on his first managerial position, say, as the main man in the hot seat. And it seems to be getting quite hot for him, that seat. So I'm happy to fade them. I just needed, like I said, with this game, can I get is there a side that's that I like at home as well? And we have got that. Another manager in his first role is Scott Brown, which is always an interesting appointment. Fleetwood not afraid to go in with the names following Joey Barton, obviously a few years ago, Scott Brown now. Interesting to see their second half performances kind of have a little bit of a spike in them, pick up. His halftime team talks, I'd imagine, would be quite interesting. I'm sure he's not a soothing halftime team talk giver, is Scott Brown. But one game that's really caught my eye, as far as a little piece of form that stands out, is their one home game they've had so far in the league this season was against Plymouth, a side that we both really like, side obviously we put up in one of our futures bets again, and a side that started the season very, very well, other than that one defeat, which was at Fleetwood. So Fleetwood winning that game, and deservedly so as well, wasn't a smash and grab raid, is an eye-catching one. They also did follow that up with a win at home in the League Cup against Wigan. So another good result. And I think a lot of these sides that are not sure what their aspirations are this season, but whatever they are, is going to certainly centre around having a very strong home record and building on. They're only 2 points off the playoffs at the minute, obviously embryonic stages of the league, but sitting in 13th, Scott Brown will definitely earmark this as a game they can win. As I say, with a massive opportunity for 3 points and Cheltenham in just absolute terrible form at the minute. We can get Fleetwood here on a small minus handicap, just at minus 0.25, odds of minus 114, which I think is a great bet here because, I say, it just looks perfectly set up for a nice Fleetwood home win. And we'll take that small minus handicap.
Lovely stuff. Fleetwood, the ones to go for in League One. In League Two, you and I both selected this for sake of transparency, but we can't both put it up. So I won the fight here. The way it's going, the Norwich bet will probably win and this will get beat. But this is, I think, one of the strongest bets of the season so far, in my view. I cannot work it out at all. Almost feels a bit noisy. Stevenage, a plus 108 to beat Rochdale at home. I don't understand how they're not odds on. To give context to this, next weekend, Swindon, who started the season very poorly, are hosting Rochdale and are a far shorter price. And Stevenage host Carlisle, who are far better than Rochdale and are a far shorter price. I can't work out how we're getting odds against about a Stevenage side who, under Steve Evans, I think is still being underrated. I think they are promotion candidates. They have put in a string of very good performances. And even though they've left it late in games to get their just rewards, they have been deserved. You know, there's nothing fortunate about this. They had to wait until the 100th minute against Walsall on Saturday to get their point, but they were good value for that point and they deserved it over the course of play during the game. And I don't see, you know, Steve Evans is a bit of a master at this level at getting teams to be effective. They beat Reading in the Carabao Cup and they beat the title favourites Stockport 2-1 in the game before that, again, leaving it late. So that is 3 wins and a draw from 4 games. Unlike Rochdale, who, you know, I predicted them for relegation pre-season, they've lost all 3 of their games so far in this campaign. They've taken on 3 teams who haven't been particularly good elsewhere. You know, they lost to Crewe on opening day. Crewe have lost their last 2 games, 7-0 on aggregate. They lost to Gillingham next up. Gillingham lost their 2 games either side of that. Grimsby came into the game with Rochdale last weekend, having not won yet, and they won 1-0. So Rochdale, bottom of the EFL, yet to pick up a point, up against away to side in Stevenage, who have started the season really well and look so compact and effective going forwards. Yeah. If Stevenage were plus 108 away from home, I wouldn't be backing them, but I wouldn't be surprised. So to be getting this price, as I say, it almost feels a bit noisy. Sometimes when you see a price and it's so far out from where you think it should be, it's a little bit of a concern. But I, at this stage of the season, hoping it's just down to the fact that Stevenage were relegation candidates last season and they're still perceived to be not quite as good as they actually are. And I think that price will continue to move towards even money or even odds against over the next couple of days.
Yeah, there totally. You have it. I think sometimes I think you just get a fit of a manager and a side. And I think Steve Evans and Stevenage go very, very well together. And so they've not had an easy start, have they, to the season? They're like Walsall were top of the table. They had the first side to take a point off Walsall. As you say, the Stockport game, it was like pre-season title favourites. So absolutely, yeah, bang on that. And that's a huge price. Certainly caught my eye. Well, my eyes lit up when I saw that. So you just beat me in the arm wrestle. What can I say?
I did,
I'll work on
first
that.
Time. There you go. So those are our selections ahead of this weekend of VFL football. And, you know, hopefully after last week, I can get back to winning ways and fingers crossed that you can continue
Almost
with
it. Temporary, George, we know that. Class is permanent.
Exactly. Do go and subscribe to, do go and follow the Twitter handle at Because We Win. You can find myself, Jack, and all the other sports handicappers on the Bet Rivers Network putting up selections and tips up there throughout the week. Hopefully, you enjoy the midweek football as well. We'll be back ahead of the weekend to preview Saturday's games. But please do subscribe to the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel. And please do leave a review if you've enjoyed this as well. And you can also download all of these shows across the network on any podcast platform too. So do go and check that out. Fingers crossed for some winners in there. I think we've both made decent cases for our bets. So hopefully we can get back where we were last week as well with a couple of winners each. As is always the case, please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly. But crucially, please do enjoy the football.